Let's pray.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that your word is food to us, that which helps us to grow and to deepen our faith and understanding, that helps us to walk with you and talk with you. Give us delight in it this morning. Teach us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. Our passage this morning is a great passage for us. And it hit me when I was studying the passage this week and working through it, that the passage gives me something, well, it gives me the opportunity to talk about something that I haven't yet addressed from the pulpit. Today, I want to show us how God's word speaks into our split from St. Mark's Englefield. Now, there may be some of us here who don't know about St. Mark's, so let me just say that a few months ago, St. Mark's Church, our neighbour in Englefield, great church, lovely vicar called Nick. Up until recently, that was very much a part of Holy Trinity. The rector of Holy Trinity Church was a team rector with responsibility for St. Mark's also. And it also meant that there was very much of a family feel between our two churches, so I understand it. Now, I'm not going to rehearse in any great detail the reasons for the split. But for reasons including finances and autonomy, many in St. Mark's felt that it was time to be a separate church in their own right. Now, what is obvious is that I don't come to this topic with any baggage. I wasn't here. I'm not an authority on what had happened, although I am fully aware of what did happen. I've seen a lot of legal documents, and over the last few weeks I've been working my way through it. The correspondence from both the church members here and the church members in St. Mark's in Englefield, those who were for the split, those who were against the split. But I'm not under any illusion that I can fully understand the feelings that were involved, because I wasn't here. But as I've been considering this, listening carefully to people about this and praying through this, I want to say, and this is my take on what has happened, I want to say that this is an opportunity. Now, you may be saying, thinking, Martin, you're really trying to be glass half full sort of a man, aren't you? What on earth are you talking about, opportunity? Well, it is an opportunity to work through, to re-establish, to solidify, to focus on our identity here in Thiel. It's an opportunity to consider how we do church in Thiel, for Thiel, and for anyone who wants to find a church that will put God's word at the centre of all that it does. Now, when the split happened, some people in our church were for it, and some people were against it. A little bit like when the school was proposed. Some people, so I understand, were for it, and some people were against it. And our passage this morning speaks into our situation here at Holy Trinity. You see, the Philippian church, they were in danger of division. And this is where we pick up chapter 4 of Philippians. You are very welcome to take notes. You'll find space at the back of your service, your notice sheet. I want you to notice with me this morning Paul's three appeals. His three appeals to the church. Here's the first. Don't be divided. Just imagine the scene with me for a moment before we dig in. Yudi and Syntyche are Sunday club leaders. They've both been doing it together for years. They've been great friends. The kids really great get on. They have play dates at each other's house. But that was a year ago. Things are a bit different now, because around a year ago, Yudi and Syntyche fell out. We don't know why they fell out, but it was significant enough that they're not talking. They don't serve together anymore in Sunday club anymore. They haven't made up. Perhaps they had to move home groups because of it, because they couldn't be in the same room together. So Sunday after Sunday, they turn up to church at the same time. That's awkward. But Yulia takes her family and sits on the right, and Syntyche takes her family and sits on the left, and they don't have to worry about talking to each other anymore. One Sunday, things are as usual. They arrive in the church, they go their separate ways. The vicar stands up and he says, "Hey everyone, guess what? I've got a letter from Paul." That's so exciting. They love Paul. They weren't a church before Paul arrived. They love him. We'll see so much more next week how much they love him, but they love him. And so they're so excited. And so the vicar stands up and he picks up the letter, which is our chapter 1, verse 1, and he starts to read, "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, the excitement! And the vicar keeps reading. And then the vicar turns over the page. Looks like he's drawing to a close now. And then it happens. "I plead with Yulia, I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord." Probably even takes the vicar by surprise. Paul has named these people, knowing full well this letter would be read out in public. He continues, verse 3. "Yes, and I ask you," he's speaking now to the whole congregation, "and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life." Wow. Was that a bit mean of Paul to name them? Well, notice with me what Paul doesn't say. Paul doesn't say why they fell out. Did you notice that? So he doesn't air why they fell out, but more to the point, he never says who is in the right and who is in the wrong. Why? Doesn't matter. The point is, they're sisters in Christ, and their falling out had brought division into the church fellowship. And it would make no difference whether it was a big issue or a small issue. A divided fellowship cannot stand firm together. So Paul says, therefore, to the whole church, help them. Don't let disagreement within your congregation lead to division. At weddings, I do love a good wedding. It's one of the perks of my job. At weddings, after I've married a couple, I hold both of their hands. I hold it high. And I say the wonderful words, "Those whom God has joined together, let no one separate." Now, at that moment when I say that, I'm speaking primarily, of course, to the congregation. I'm speaking to the congregation and to the couple as well, to their friends and family. But I'm also indirectly speaking about the church, because it is a sentence about the church. Do you remember how in the Bible marriage is a picture of the great union between Christ and his church? We said that in our affirmation of faith, didn't we? The Spirit and the bride say, "Come, come, Lord Jesus." The bride is the church. The bridegroom is our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians, if you turn back a couple of pages to Ephesians, you'll see this. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church." So when a vicar says those words, we are also to consider what the picture of marriage is and the ultimate point of the words. It is the church whom God has joined together, and no one should separate members of the church. That's the first appeal of Paul. The word church means gathering. That's what the word church, ecclesia, is a Greek word, means gathering. How can a gathering be divided? It just doesn't work, does it? So it means that if we're ever in disagreement, we have to bite the bullet and we must talk. That's important. It's not easy, but for Holy Trinity to keep standing firm, we have to watch for that which can spread like gangrene. Of course, people will disagree. We're different people from all different walks of life, different backgrounds, different sports teams, and all the rest of it. Of course, we're going to disagree. But we have to be aware of what can make a church crumble, and it's not a bulldozer. There are plenty of empty churches in our country. It's not a bulldozer that will make a church crumble. It's division. Those whom God has joined together, let no one separate. That's the first appeal. Here's the second. Trust God for the future. Trust God for the future. Have a look at verse 4 with me. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. After the split from St. Mark's, did you feel like rejoicing? I'm guessing probably not. Why would? How could Paul say this here? Well, God can use all situations for good. Joseph knew it. Do you remember Joseph? Last few chapters of Genesis. Hated by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery. Elevated to a high office in Egypt, that meant he was decades later in a position to save his family from starvation. How did Joseph put it to his brothers? Genesis chapter 50. We'll just turn to it. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Now, please don't mishear me on this. I'm not saying that Englefield in any way intended to harm us. What I am saying is that when things look bleak, when things look like they're not going our way, we need to remember God is bigger. Look at the worst day in human history. We turn our back on God. We deserve his wrath. He comes down from heaven in the person of his son. What do? We kill him in one of the most barbaric ways imaginable to kill a person. But God intended it for good. Our good. Our eternal good. So, Paul says, pray. Show your dependence on God for the future. In prayer, look at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Prayer shows our dependence and our trust that God will answer in the right way, in his way. So I said that the split from Mark's is an opportunity. And my question this morning is, will we trust God for that opportunity that is before us? So God is bigger than the split, and he can use it for good. Will we trust him to do so? Because if we trust him, then we can rejoice. You see how it's not a silly thing to say? If we trust God, we will rejoice that everything that he does will work for good. It does mean praying, of course. Praying about the future of the church, praying about our presence here in Thiel, praying about people walking through the door. There's one thing you remember this morning. Please remember this. A praying church is a sign of a healthy church. That's not coming from me. I don't have an original thought in my head. That's coming from a lot more people who are a lot more wise and clever than me. A praying church is a sign of a healthy church. It's very true. A sign of a healthy church is its prayer life. And I'm not talking about the set prayers on a Sunday. I'm not talking about the prayers before we go to bed at night or the prayers when we wake up in the morning. I'm talking about corporate dependence on God in prayer. So corporate dependence on God for our finances, our children's work, our seniors' work, our administration of the running of this magnificent building, the prayer for his care for the music in this church and our outreach events in this church and the events that we put on and the sermons that are preached and the people that are here and the services that we run. I'd love to see you at our church prayer meetings. They're at the rectory, first Wednesday of every month, just for an hour. For some of us, there are very good reasons why we can't make a Wednesday evening prayer meeting. If that is you, please, please do not sit there feeling guilty. It's really important, okay, if you can't make it for good reason. I get it. But if we can be there, please be there. Please show your corporate dependence on God for the future of this church. We're not a social club. We're a church. And what does the Bible say about the building of his church? Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor in vain. We're not to be divided as a church. Not to let something like the split with St. Mark's divide us, but we're to show dogged, determined dependence on God for his future for us, to show how we can be church for Theo. And as a consequence, look what the consequence is. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's the consequence, peace. We'll have, if we're trusting in God, we'll have peace because we know that everything that he does for us is for his glory and our good. We're not doing this alone. We've got God on our side. Isn't that great? And if God is for us, who can be against us? So, two appeals. Don't be divided. Trust God for his future. Here's Paul's final appeal. Put it into practice. Put it into practice. Let me read verses 8 and 9 for us. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. This makes up our conclusion. The point is this. Not being divided and showing dogged, determined dependence on God is not a state of mind. It's an act of will. You may have heard this before. I'll put it on the screen so you can follow it. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Why do I show you that? Paul calls the church to put into practice the act of unity and prayerfulness. But he knows it doesn't come easy. You have to act on it. It starts as a thought, but don't leave it there. Turn it into an act. And by doing so, it becomes a habit and a part of who we are. That's why he says, think about such things. You won't just walk out of here and just happen to be a united church. You won't just walk out of here and think, I'm going to be a prayer. You have to do it. You have to turn up. You have to diarize it. You have to make sure that even when it's cold, you say to yourself, it's all right, I've got a scarf, I can still go out. You have to act on it. So yes, Holy Trinity. Things have changed, haven't they, with our relationship with Englefield? But God is bigger than that, and we're not to be divided. We are to rejoice that God is doing everything for good. He has a plan for us here in Thiel, so depend on him, won't you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please would you help us to take note of these three appeals. Father, there are too many empty churches in our world, in our land, as a consequence of division. And we don't want to take this for granted that we are currently a united church. So please help us to trust you for our future, to love one another. Please help us, we pray, to depend on you for where we're going as a church. Help us to trust you for our finances, for all that we do, and help us to put it into practice, that we would be a church that honors and glorifies your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.